Good Tuesday morning. Today is February the 26th. It is 7:31 in the morning, and we are here to seek God's face and to know his heart. Amen. Well, today is a new day. It's a new day for a new devotion. We are starting a new Bible plan today. We finished up yesterday and the last couple of days talking about God is good, and we learned about yesterday about obedience and to get unstuck from the things that are stuck in our lives. So we brought that to a conclusion, and today we're starting a new one titled Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back. So if you want to go ahead and hop on the Bible plan, it's in that bit.ly link. I've updated it this morning, just like I've updated the title. So today is Don't Look Back, part one. And as I was reading through a sample of this plan, I believe that God is going to move mightily through this plan. And there's a couple other ones that I was praying about this morning. And I said, God, which way do we go? Which way do we go? Because it's all about him. When we listen to him, and when we are 100% complete obedience to him, it doesn't matter what comes out of us, because we know it's going to be God, because we're walking in the same footstep, the same path as God. Amen. Amen. So I've updated the Bible plan. If you want to hop on, I've invited some people that are already on the Bible app. I did that. I sent you a request to that. But without further ado, let's hop in and figure out what Don't Look Back is all about. Let's see what it's all about. So it says a new start, a new start. Doesn't a new start sound great? When life becomes difficult, you have failed several times and you've messed up a perfect relationship. Maybe you're bored on your job, your house, your friends, a family. A new start sounds exciting when we find ourselves stuck in the mediocrity of life. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross over 2,000 years ago enables you to have a new start even now? Though many believers know this truth, they still live beneath this truth every day because somehow the lie of the old life seems to envelop their souls. The fact is that the enemy of our souls knows if he can keep us looking back, we would make little progress in the future God has for us. Wow, looking back, don't look back. We all have a past, and for some, it may be memorable. For others, it may be horrible. Whatever the past looks like, the enemy majors in causing us to indulge in what was. We serve a God that loves a plan ahead for his children, and Scripture tells us that. His plans are always good in the end. Jeremiah 29, 11. As a pastor, I'm afforded the opportunity to minister to many people from the young to old, mature and immature, strong and weak. But what I recognize is from the least to the greatest, the most common issues among them all is letting go of the past. I spent, or I should I say, wasted a lot of time and energy on what was and what could have been, but I'm grateful for the present and the bright future what God has for me and for you too. I want to encourage you to take your time through this plan and to commit looking back on the negatives of your life. Our memory is not the enemy, but the way we use our memory will determine the detriment. When I look back on life, it is for only moments of seeing what God did and seeing how he has brought me through. As you journey through me, I want you to understand, or as you journey with me, I want you to understand that a new start is available to you, no matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus died to save and to give us a brand new start. Jesus specializes in new beginnings, and now I look at every disappointment, hurt, and pain as an opportunity to birth something new. We do ourselves a great injustice, and we lock God out when we keep looking back negatively. We were made to move forward, and it's time to stop looking back. All right, who's excited about this Bible plan? Who is excited? Who's getting fired up right now? They're ready to run a little bit. So I wanted to go back and just briefly touch on a couple of things. When life becomes difficult, we've failed several times. Maybe you've messed up a perfect relationship. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks right now. Maybe your marriage is on the verge of divorce. Maybe you're already separated and you're just waiting to sign papers. Maybe you're bored of the job that God's provided, that you're bored of the same job that you prayed for, that God brought you the job, and now you're bored at that job. Maybe you're tired of the house that you're living in. Maybe you're complaining about the house that you're living in that you once prayed for and God brought it to you, but now you're complaining about it. Maybe you're complaining about your friends, your family. And there was a common theme. It was complaining. It was looking back. It was, well, you know, maybe God did this for me, but I need God to do this. I need God to operate here in this part of my life. Or God can't use me because, you know, I did this when I was younger. Whatever that looks like. I want you to go back, and I'm going back to my page where I posted this picture yesterday morning. It says, only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. The issue is, what happens is the enemy, he attacks us through our mind. That's why the shield of faith that we take up, the armor that we put on every day when we pray, that's why it says the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts. The fiery darts are designed, they're thoughts that are sent to infiltrate our mind. Because if he can get up here, then all of a sudden he has control. This is the control center. So if he can fire, he can shoot the fiery darts at you and infiltrate the control center, then this comes out, this is controlled, your body is controlled through the control center. So the enemy wants to continue to try to infiltrate and penetrate your mind, which is why we have to take up that shield of faith. But specifically, he works in our past. He works through our past. And that's why this author is telling us, don't look back. You might have experienced a traumatic experience. You might have had a severe trauma, and the enemy saying, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're unclean, you're God can't use you, or maybe you're whatever that looks like, whatever, maybe you did something in the past and the enemy is holding you hostage to it. He's holding you hostage. And the reality is you're choosing to stay there. You're choosing to stay there. He's holding you hostage, yet you have the power and authority. You have the key. You have the King of Kings. And the purchase that Jesus already did on the cross, you're choosing to remain hostage. Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough. You say, well, Cody, you don't know what happened in my past. You don't know what I've experienced. I've experienced some traumatic things. I have. My wife has experienced traumatic things. We have all experienced traumatic things. But there comes a point, there comes a time that you have to say, God, I relinquish it. I don't want to live there. And when you relinquish it, when you say, I'm tired of being a hostage, when you say, I'm tired of being a victim, I'm ready to be a victor, do you know what happens? It's like a flip switches. And when you go from the victim to the victor, now the victor goes and rescues other victims. Once you go from the victim to the victor then goes and rescues other victims. You see, God wants to use that situation. God wants to use that hurt in your past. God wants to use whatever happened to you. I mean, whatever. Whether you were molested, whether you were wrongfully raped, whether you were raped, whether someone, you know, stole from you, whether you hurt somebody really bad, whether you stole somebody for whether you cheated in a marriage, whatever that looks like, whatever the brokenness that you brought on, or that was brought on to you, God wants to use it. And he will use it. Just like I just read that the post that I did yesterday, the victim to the victor. You are a victor because that is what Christ did for us on the cross. But we're not walking in victory. We are walking in the victim status. And the victim status is defeated. The victim status is depressed. The victim status is anxious. The victim status is just an Eeyore. It's an Eeyore. It's woe is me. It's walking in despair. But God has called us to walk in power and authority. That's what Jesus did on the cross. That's why he died, to release the Holy Spirit to us. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? If you're getting it, say amen. So let's go and read some scripture. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of your sinful nature. By your very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Are you seeing what, are you listening to what I'm saying? So there's going, I just feel it. There is a victim out there right now that is speaking to their past, that is speaking to their past and telling the enemy that I am not going to be held hostage anymore by my past. I choose to get up. I choose to rise up, and I choose to receive the victory that has already been purchased for me. And then I am going to rescue other victims. That's what we're called to do. It's Romans 8:28, that he'll use all things for the good of those. He will use all things that happen to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Philippians 3:13-14. No, dear brothers, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. It's all about not looking back. It's all about looking forward. There's a reason that the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield. And I know some of you may have heard that before, and I may have said it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. There's a reason. There's a little tiny mirror, and then you have this big windshield. You need to see where you're going. You need to have a clear vision. You need to have no obstruction. But a lot of us myself included, I was walking around with this monster rearview mirror, and I'm trying to go forward. Can you just picture that? Just picture. Close your eyes if you're not driving. But just picture this huge rearview mirror covering up your windshield. And then you've got this little tiny space to look through to see where you're going. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Yes, we have to look. We have to look in our rearview mirror when we're driving. We look in the rearview mirror. But how long do we stay there? 2 seconds? Why? Because we need to know what's going on in front of us. We need to know the opportunities that God's sending us. We need to know where God's taking us. We need to know who we're picking up and who we're supposed to meet. That's the reason that the windshield is so big. And the rearview mirror is just to say, all right, there's no one behind me, or it's all clear, or I can back up here. Are you're understanding what I'm saying? I don't want to repeat myself, but I feel like God is really wanting to deal with us in this area. I mean, there are things in my past that I'm dealing with right now that I'm having to seek healing from. I have to seek healing from, and God is doing that. And so if you're feeling kind of anxious right now, if you're kind of feeling stirred up, you're kind of feeling like, oh my gosh, oh there's I'm living in a victim status. All you have to do is and then I'll lead you. So when we get to our prayer, I'll lead you to see what it looks, so you can see what it looks like. And then you just pray that. You just pray that. And then God will release you from that. You're already released. You have to choose to walk in your freedom. And I apologize. Let me be very clear. The freedom has already been purchased. You just have to walk in your freedom. Right. And I was meeting with somebody yesterday at Starbucks, and God gave me the illustration. We're sitting at the table, and I said, that coffee right over there, that's for you. She's like, well, I don't want the coffee. I didn't ask for the coffee, or I don't want the coffee. I said, but you have to understand that's how God works. He says that coffee right there, that coffee is for you. But it's up to you to choose to get up and go get the coffee. The coffee's already there. It's already been purchased. It's already been paid for. It's waiting. It's just waiting for you to go and get it. That's the same way that Jesus did. He died on a cross for you. He purchased it for you. All you have to do is say, Father, I receive that. I get up. I get out of my chair and I go get that coffee because it's mine. It's already purchased. It has my name on it. It has my name on it. That's what he did for us. And that's why the enemy fights so hard against us. Because if he can keep us looking back, we don't know the direction of where we're going. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. Father, we thank you for this new Bible plan that you have for us. We thank you, Father, that you are after your children. You are coming after your children that are being held hostage. So Lord, right now, I pray, Father, as if I'm praying for them. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I repent for living in a victim mentality. Lord, I pray that you would reveal any areas in my life that I'm living in a victim mentality, where you've already purchased and you've already become the victor for me. Father, as I repent and as I turn from the past and I turn from the hurt, I leave the hurt there. I forgive anybody that has hurt me. I forgive anybody that has wronged me. I forgive anybody that is trying to take advantage of me. I release them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for taking the burden. I thank you for taking the pain away from me. And Father, this day I choose to rise up and become a victor in the name of Jesus, because that is what Jesus has done for me. And Lord, going forward, I come against the thoughts that are going to come after my mind. I come against the attacks of the enemy that's going to try to take me from the victor mentality back to the victim mentality. So, Father, I thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. I thank you for using me as the victor. And Lord, I pray that you would use me to go and rescue other victims, because that is the purpose and the plan that you have for my life. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for the seeds that were released today. We thank you for the freedom that has come and the bondage that was broken, the yoke that was broken off. Lord, we renounce and rebuke the enemy, the devourer. He has no place in our life. Lord, and you've given us that power and authority through your word. So Lord, we receive your word, we believe your word, and we release your word. We renounce and rebuke the enemy off of our lives today. And Father, we walk in your wholeness, we walk in your completeness, we walk in victory, because that is what Jesus has given us, the victory. So Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for your daily bread that you're bestowing upon us today. We pray that you would open our eyes to see the provision that you've provided. We thank you for the opportunities to minister and to bless those around us, Lord, to be hand and feet of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. Lord, we take on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the loins girt about with truth, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Lord, we are ready. We are ready for whatever you need us to do today. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Have a wonderful day. We will see you tomorrow. Hop on that Bible plan, that bit.ly link, or if you want me to send you a personal invite through the Bible app, send me a friend request and then send me a message, and I'll invite you to the Bible plan. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.